Blog Talk Radio.
Muhammad, and this is the Thursday night edition of Elevated Places Ask Dr. Ava. But of course, we have evolved into an array of brilliance on this forum that has become the place to be on Thursday nights. I am blessed to be in the company through cyberspace of my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our international correspondent and contributor and analyst, Brother Reuben Muhammad, who is our brother in the future. It's tomorrow, Friday, the 29th of November, where he is, and all of you. And so we look forward to a very meaningful and significant discussion tonight on the subject that is the actual headline of the Final Call newspaper. And I have the hard copy here with me, though I do also subscribe to the digital edition, Boycott Black Friday. Hopefully we have not forgotten that. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, right, Brother Terrence, sent us forward 10-10-15 on an economic boycott, and it was initiated with the holiday shopping season of 2015. It was not limited to the holiday season of 2015. And so Up With Jesus, Down With Santa was launching a national economic boycott, and we really need a heart-to-heart talk with ourselves tonight about our, you know, seeming inability, and I put myself right in the middle of all of that, to really implement the directives of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the we has to include, Brother Terrence, the whole black nation, because he is no longer the premier leader of our people. He is the only leader of our people. He is like separation in human form. He is the best and only solution to our problem. And so we really need to, you know, do some self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction as the black community in general, and then specifically those of us who profess to support him, and above all, those of us who profess to follow him, because most of us are certainly well-intended, but we have a predisposition for doing what we think in our mind is best, rather than align our mind with the leadership that God has given us. And, you know, with that in mind, I did want to share with us, just to open up tonight's program, and this is from the book that was published or put out, published by Brother Dimitri Muhammad. And Brother Dimitri Muhammad is, of course, an excellent writer in his own right, and he is a member of the Nation of Islam research team. But he has put out two books that are compilations and arrangements of columns written by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the early days before Muhammad Speaks was published. Muhammad Speaks was published in 1961. But prior to that, the way that the word of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was distributed in the black community was through the black newspapers of the day. And many of those papers, and it was in those days called the Negro Press, and in those days, they were the means by which black people communicated. Very historical papers, but unfortunately, these old publications, they did not have the type of technology to preserve them like they have now. And because of that, many of these newspapers and copies in which his articles appeared no longer exist. And even the ones they were able to find, they do not have dates for them specifically. They just, Brother Dimitri writes in the book, and it's called Invincible Truth, An Invincible Truth, which is how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad characterized the word that he brings us. But these articles are between 1957 and 1962, and they are very rare articles in newspapers such as the Los Angeles Herald Dispatch, the Pittsburgh Courier, New York Amsterdam News, the Westchester Observer, the New Jersey Herald News, and the Chicago New Crusader. And this is in volume two. And I just wanted to lift this because it is so relevant to now, something almost 60 years ago that he wrote. He said, first, we need some of this earth that we can call our own. Without some of this earth that we can call our own, we cannot hope to become a free nation out of the nation of the slave master. And then in all caps, it is far more important to teach separation of the blacks and whites in America than prayer. And then he goes back to the normal font. Teach and train the blacks to do something for self in the way of uniting and seeking a home on this earth that they can call their own. There is no such thing as living in peace with white Americans. You and I have tried without success. Look what white Americans did to my followers in Los Angeles, California, April 27, 1962. They know that we, the Muslims, are a peaceful people and do not carry arms. But the heartless enemy devils care not for peace. They were created and made to hate peace. Night and day, they are seeking out a chance to beat and kill you, while at the same time, you are out seeking to show them how much you love them. A very foolish people you are. How can anyone other than you love an open enemy? Now, this is what I really want you to hear. as we talk about economic boycotts and investing in self. He writes, "We just cannot compete with them in business unless we unite and get some of this earth that we can produce our own people's needs. For example, here in Chicago, Illinois, the black man is robbed on the south side of the city through giant cut-rate stores owned by the white man, who makes it almost impossible for black people's independent stores to survive. But with the right understanding and business unity among us, we could turn this great flow of millions of dollars from going to the north side's white businessmen and back into the pockets of the poor black man on the south side. Ask me how you can do it. You must stop being foolish as to spend our few hard-earned dollars with the rich of the land. You who are wealthy or rich among us should help set up independent businesses that your people demand, which would add wealth to your people and also yourself through lower prices. This would also give employment to our people. But to be successful, we must have some of this earth to produce our people's needs. Hurry and join your own kind." And, you know, as I sit here in that same city, Chicago, the gap that he spoke of then has now in 2019 widened to an abyss, to where the north side of Chicago is basking in wealth and luxury, and the south side of Chicago looks like a war zone. The South Africa during apartheid was not as did not have as strong a line of demarcation between black and white as Chicago, Illinois does today. And all of that is because we ignored his instructions. And now Allah's mercy has resulted in us 60 or more years later being given an opportunity to correct that wrong. So I just wanted to start out, I guess, Brother Terrence, to set a set up an environment for tonight's discussion on boycotting tomorrow, which really already started today. A lot of these, you know, I was telling you and Sister Rona earlier by text that, you know, when I got the Chicago Tribune today, it was so heavy and thick, and yet there were only a few pages of news. All of the thickness was attributable to the ads and the retailers, you know, doorbuster, be here at midnight, be here at 6 o'clock tonight. So the race to the bank has already started.
It definitely has.
Yes, sir. But anyway, we're gonna start as we normally do, with first hearing. I do have to say this though, that we are mourning the loss of the great, legendary Reverend Clay Evans, who passed away last night. He was absolutely one of the warriors of the black struggle. He was 94 years old, and in fact, he made Reverend Jesse Jackson a minister. He stood with Dr. Martin Luther King to his own detriment when other preachers in the city were told to stay away from him. He stood and supported the Nation of Islam, and he supported the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his rebuilding of the Nation of Islam. And he was the founder of Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church here in Chicago, but a great and powerful contributor to our struggle, and his voice and his strength will certainly be missed among Black people, really coast to coast, but especially in Chicago. So I wanted to start out by making that announcement. Yeah, but I think we do have Brother Reuben on. Brother Reuben?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you with
Assalamu alaikum.
All praise is due to Wa alaikum salam. Thank Allah for technology. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, beloved.
Thank you so much. I am yes, outdoors, sir. Once again, just so I can get a clear signal where I am. I'm in a different part of the state
excellent.
Today. So I will be joining you for a little bit, and then I've got to run back in. I'm actually at a urgent local council planning meeting, but I stepped outside so I can
yes,
join
sir.
You. I've got to jump back in again, but I will join you perhaps in the second hour as soon as everything is finished, because it is about midday here
okay.
in Australia. And like you said, today is Black Friday, and Black Friday was never really a holiday here in Australia. Well, not so much a holiday, but any kind of event here in Australia until after 10:15, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to, you know, keep up with this boycott, up with Jesus and down with, you know, Santa. Now, what we have to keep in mind is that the retailers, whoever they are, whether it be a Walmart or whatever name they go under, these now are multinational companies. They're not just in America. So while our people
right.
listened and were quite effective in the boycott, what many of these retailers do is they start introducing holidays throughout the rest of the world so that the money they didn't make from all of the people in America, they can perhaps pick up from Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and the rest of the world. So they actually started to introduce Black Friday here after 10:15. Now, it really hasn't picked up too much, but, you know, we are dealing with global companies, Apple, Amazon, and the others, so they're pushing it very, very, very hard. So that's what's going on today. And, of course, then they've also introduced Cyber Monday as well. This is the Monday after the Black Friday for online shopping. So that way, you know, they can hopefully make it through before the Christmas period and make more money. So let's, as you said, Dr. Ava, the minister did not tell us to stop the boycott. He told us to keep it up, so I pray that our people stay together and united in that effort. And, you know, if you have to shop with your Black business for whatever reason, but let's stop making these merchants who don't support us in any way rich and making more profits. I want to quickly give you I did say last week I'd give you an update on the bushfire and how much land was actually burnt up. Well, the news agencies here and the reporting, the Bureau of Meteorology here in Australia still hasn't done an official count. In fact, they stopped counting as of last week. The fires are still going on, but it's become kind of interesting. As I mentioned before, there was a fire just in Sydney. If we look at the Sydney on its own, nearly 2 million hectares burnt to the ground. They got hail, they got rain, they got storms, which did nothing to stop or slow down the bushfire. In fact, increased it because the storms and the hail brought lightning, which started even more fires. But just 2 days ago, Sydney got rocked with a 300-second, 5-minute mini cyclone, which just about, you know, blew them all away because they're burning up, they get rain, they get the dust storm, and now a cyclone came through the city, tore down trees and cut power and all kinds of stuff. And we don't get cyclones in Sydney, never, ever, ever. The last time I ever heard of a cyclone in Sydney was the day after when the minister left Australia in 1998 on World Friendship Tour 3. That's the only other time we had something similar to this. So, you know, Allah is not playing. They're still trying to get power to different parts of the city in Sydney. So hopefully maybe next week we'll get updates from the authorities and I'll be able to give you a total count of how much destruction, fires, rain, hail, and everything else has caused here in Australia just in the last few weeks. Some people who are music fans have probably been following. I know some people ask me, what's going on with will.i.am? He's been in the media. Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, of course, got on his Twitter account after he was discriminated against, and he actually accused Qantas. Qantas is the national carrier of Australia, of racism, because they picked on him. They called the police on him. He got off the plane because he was wearing his headphones to cancel out the noise and was working, and he didn't hear the announcement to, put away your laptop. So normally, the flight attendants on many of these long-haul flights, when you're flying, for many hours at a time, you don't always hear everything anyway. They were quite rude to him. They picked on him. Other passengers got up to his defense, but unfortunately for will.i.am, when he did land in Sydney, he was met by 5 federal officials, and he didn't understand it. What's going on? I just didn't take off my headphones here. Yeah. Anyway, they called the police on him. It became a big deal because this has happened before with the same flight attendant. So he actually named her. And now the airline is saying they're going to try and sue will.i.am of defamation. So this is $1 billion company standing behind a racist flight attendant trying to say, look, we don't like that a black man stood up for himself. And I mean, he followed all the instructions and everything else. And if people want to follow what's going on, go on his Twitter account and you'll see the whole back and forth going on as well. Dr. Ava, something very interesting happened at the White House. And I'm not sure whether many of our listeners have caught up on it. There was a lockdown at Capitol, and Capitol Hill was evacuated. I was following this on Twitter because I actually follow one of the, the press, the White House press crew. They're all on Twitter anyway. So every now and then it's good to jump on their Twitter account and see what's really going on. So I jumped on the CBS reporter, Sarah Cook, on her Twitter account. And as it was happening, she was kind of giving a blow-by-blow account. You know, Secret Service put them in lockdown. They took them to a safe area somewhere in the White House, and because of a violation of restricted airspace. So anyway, those who were not inside the White House, those who were making their way to the White House, of course, were locked down, couldn't get in, and they started driving around and taking pictures of what's going on at D.C. Now, what was interesting is that even though the media now want to tell us, look, it was a flock of birds or it was some other thing, initially they said it was a slow-moving blob. Then they activated NORAD. NORAD is North American Air Defense. These are the people who look out for the borders of the United States, any flights going over restricted airspace. And, of course, the capital, Washington, D.C., is the most restricted airspace over the whole of the United States. And they did say they were chasing what they said was an unresponsive aircraft. So it wasn't a blob. The planes went up there, they did what they did. But what was really interesting, if you go on the Twitter accounts of some of these reporters who couldn't get inside the White House, they took pictures outside the White House. In fact, across the road, there's a building across the White House that had its missile battery come right up in position, ready to launch. Now, military people know the difference of the flock of birds. They've got all kinds of radar and technology. But they actually had this missile battery out on top of the building, ready for launch to shoot down whatever it is that they said was coming and moving slowly over this airspace. So let's not be fooled. We know what exactly perhaps was up in the air there, because they don't use surface-to-air missiles to shoot down birds. You know, there was something that frightened them, put them in lockdown, and now they really don't know what to say. And this is, during the Thanksgiving period as well. I want to let the listeners know something very interesting came out today, and it hit our news today through National Geographic. Something that they now discovered over the coast, off the coast of California. The scientists there are now saying, wait a minute, we've just discovered new fault lines that we never knew were there. They're now kind of frightened because they had a mini earthquake, about a 3-point-something earthquake, which is, it's big, but it gives you more of a tremor.
Right.
And the sea floor moves and a whole lot of things happen. So what the scientists are saying, we never knew about this. This has come out of nowhere. And, now some of the scientists are talking that you may be buying property in Arizona to be, coastal property very soon, because as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, California and many of these, you know, San Francisco, all of those, they'd be underwater anyway. So the shoreline of America may very well move in accordance to exactly how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, that water would flood all of these areas, and perhaps some of these coastal communities would be underwater as well. And as well, I mentioned to you last week the dust storm that blew across Australia, the topsoil that was blown off and went, now they're saying went in not just into the water, into the Pacific Ocean, but some of this dust that was taken from the agricultural lands of Australia may even make it as far as New Zealand. So Allah is not playing when he says, I'm going to make sure you have a drought, you have fire, and I'm going to strip the topsoil so you cannot grow anything. And he's taking it far, far, far away from the continent. And Allah did this once before a few years ago, where the dust storm ended up on cars and in the city of Auckland and other cities in New Zealand. So across thousands of miles of ocean, and, you know, cause it to land somewhere else. I want to bring something, one more thing to our attention, Dr. Ava. Many of us are familiar with our missing girls, missing women, and many of the abductions taking place on the streets of America, many cities, wherever you are in America. I'll give you an angle of the story that people need to understand, that this is a global phenomenon. One of the largest banks in Australia, this is a bank that makes, you know, $4-5 billion every quarter in profit. It's actually called Westpac, Western Pacific Bank. It's one of the oldest and largest banks in Australia. And it'll be good for the listeners to go online and perhaps follow this story. They lost their chief executive, who's an American man, actually, the CEO. He was forced to step down. But what actually caused him to step down was because this one bank, and the Australian government is going to audit all of the big four banks and everyone else, but this one bank alone did not report 23 million international money transfers. And these were worth over $11 billion. Austracking is the department of the government that, especially since 9/11, has been quickly following, you know, money laundering, anti-terrorism, and things like that. They actually followed this bank. 23 million international transfers, over $11 billion not reported. And much of this money is actually linked to child pornography, exploitation, slavery, and other things. So what I'm trying to say is this. Whenever our family members may go missing, are kidnapped, sometimes they stay in America, sometimes they're moved around to different parts of the world. I've seen this with my own eyes when I've traveled to Europe and Italy and many other, France and whatnot, where you see black people where they shouldn't be. And they're sometimes involved in sex slavery and other things. And you look at them and you ask them, you're from Africa, what are you doing here? Oh, well, I was tricked into being in this country, and they've got my passport, and they're making me do all kinds of wrong things. But what happens is some of our family members also end up in Asia, and because the Australian government is very good at tracking and stopping child exploitation here in Australia, many of these people are sometimes used for sex tourism, where people leave their home country, go to other countries into Asia and whatnot for sex tourism and holidays. But also, what was really interesting about this particular investigation is that many people now, because of the internet, because of technology, can actually request for children to be abused, exploited, in child pornography especially, and this is broadcast via the internet to those who are willing to pay. So what the government was doing was tracking many of these small payments, some as small as, you know, $100, $1,000, but in total was over $11 billion, where Australians are paying people in Asia to exploit children and then broadcast it in child pornography into the rest of the world, and they get paid for this. So let's be very serious about our missing family members. Now, this is not just children. This is grown women and even men who are being put into these kind of situations. So there'll be a report, an official government report put out soon, because they're also now investigating the other banks that were involved in many of these money transfers, where especially children are involved. So may Allah continue to bless us to follow every one of the divine instructions that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving us. So as this world, Satan's world, comes down and goes out, we can hopefully survive and make it and be productive in the hereafter that is to come. So I'll be back on the show, Dr. Ava, hopefully in the second hour. I've got to run back into this meeting, and I'll be back on. I'll let you know very soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, and we can't thank you enough, Brother Reuben, for you, like the other members of the Elevated Places team, to give your time and resources freely on a volunteer basis, and you take time to research for the program and then come on the air in between your other obligations. So we're grateful, and pray Allah you'll be back on. That powerful report. I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to leave it alone. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Reuben. So, inshallah, we'll see you in the second hour. All right, beloved.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, alaikum salam. Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir, my co-host.
Well, alaikum salam. We are here. We are live, and we are back one more again. One more again. We are here. So,
yes,
let's jump right into it. First, I want to give a big shout-out to Dr. Wesley. He was here this past weekend in Durham, North Carolina, on the invitation of Student Minister Amon Muhammad, who spoke at the mosque last Sunday, and as well, I guess, of Professor Griff from the group Public Enemy. He had a little a spot with a real intimate conversation and discussion. And it was one of the lectures where I actually, you know, understood everything and the style of Dr. Wesley. And it was really something interesting when he said he really take his time because he thinks five times before he thinks once. So he said he rarely has to make corrections that are error, but he does make corrections. But the point was he's very careful about what he's saying and delivering. And it was just a very, very powerful lecture, and all of the stuff that he delivered and how he tied it in with the research, it was very, very, very profound. And then we had some special table talk Sunday, and they were excellent. And so we thank him for coming and blessing us. And for those that didn't know, shout out, birth anniversary this past Tuesday for Mother Khadija Farrakhan. So that was celebrated and remembered this past Tuesday. Oh, Wednesday.
Tuesday, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, Wednesday.
So,
I think Minister Farrakhan met with us, so I confused it with Wednesday, but it was Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So, this past Tuesday, so that was a wonderful day. And also tomorrow, We Are the Gold. We Are Gold is a group called Soul Society that's going to be putting on an event tomorrow in Durham, North Carolina, at the Haytai Center of Black Heritage, where Black Wall Street used to be. And they're inviting our brother David Banner to be in the area. And I bring that up because as we're talking about Black Friday, they're talking about We Are the Gold. And we understand it's black dollars that help white companies get in the black because they've been in the red all year long. But they're going to be doing things with vendors and making sure that black economics and that dollar goes within the community and goes within our community to help our community. So we're the gold that we're looking for. And as we know, today is, as I call it, Thanksgiving, the Red Man Holocaust Day, which we can have a discussion about today. You know, I saw someone says, give thanks for those who stole your land, and then sell the people that you stole, that you brought over here for our Black Friday. So, you know, this is National Day of Mourning. This is the time that a people welcome another people to their land and taught them how to eat because they was about to die. And these same people gave them diseases and nearly wiped out a whole people. And so sometimes we just overlook things and just say, well, we want to celebrate family, which is a beautiful thing to give thanks for life and your family. But we can never forget how this came about, how this this quote-unquote holiday evolved, and it was off the bats of genocide of a whole people. So we don't want to forget that as well. And also, Dr. Ava, we want to put on the minds of the people, especially during the holiday seasons, that we want to be careful. They always give the alert, please make sure you have your keys in your hand. You know, don't carry so many bags. If you have a lot of shopping, take trips to the car to unload your car, you know, so you'll be with all these bags and you're going to have your hands free during the holidays because, you know, a lot of people are robbing and, you know, doing all
that
stuff. But I always want to remind people that, well, not remind people, I want to remind that we also have a crisis going on and we don't want to let this national alert be going unnoticed that our black girls and black women are being snatched up, sex trafficking is going on. The conversation of the white van parked next to your car, and when you get close to your car, you know, they snatch you into these vans. And so I'm bringing this up because a lot more conversation is, you know, way over social media and personal conversations of people talking about this whole issue of sex trafficking. So we have to watch our girls. We have to watch our sisters, our wives, our friends, and to make sure that they are consciously aware of their surroundings and not just lollygagging and just not paying attention to what's going on and thinking that everybody's your buddy and your friend and then get picked off. So we want to make sure that people are vigilant, especially during this time of the year.
Yes, sir.
I also want to go ahead and just kind of wrap up, but the piece that I wanted to wrap up with, Dr. Ava, you kind of touched on it, well, you did touch on it with our brother, Reverend Clay Evans, and the passing of Reverend Clay Evans. But what made me think about it is that there's a lot of people that are transitioning, passing away that we're watching. I got a phone call from a national figure, international figure that's in the hospital because of some health challenges, and made me think about that in this time of Thanksgiving and everybody eating all this kind of food that we really have to monitor and watch our health. As I got a message sent to me last night about this person having been rushed to the ER, I got a text today about one of my friend's mother. They thought she was having a mild stroke. They said, but her sugar, her was low, and they had to get her restored. And paramedics was at the home for over an hour trying to get her back to, you know, the mother back to where she was. And it just made me think that we have to constantly be checking on our personal health and the health of the loved ones around us to make sure that we are at our optimum best and that we're not eating soul food, but we're eating how to eat to live. And I say it that way because soul food, as we call it, is death to us and it's killing us. It's clogging up our arteries. It's causing obesity. It's causing cancer. And we really need to read the book from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from God himself, on how to eat to live, not eat to die. And I'm just watching a large wave of people passing. And it is that time some people have reached a certain age, but then as we were starting to reach, and I had a friend of mine who was 38 that passed and discovered some things that was going on with him because of certain lifestyle things. But, you know, it's a lot of things that can contribute to our health, but we need to be mindful. We need to be watching how we are partaking in certain lifestyle choices that will affect us down the road. And now these life choices are not coming slower. They're coming very fast, meaning that we're not like, well, I'm 70 and 60 and 80. No, they're getting 20 and 30 and 40 passing away due to not having the good lifestyle. And part of that lifestyle, we can eat healthy but be stressed. So we have to understand that we're not living in the optimum environment called America. So we have to build paradise. We have to build places that allow us to grow and be happy, as well as eat the proper food and be in the proper environment. And part of getting that proper environment is contributing to the separation tour, so we can make up our mind to separate and to be in a place of paradise and to quickly leave hell. We need to get out of hell, because hell is not giving us heaven. So we have to make these decisions, and we have to make actively engaged plans to separate so that our health can be good and we can have better wealth. Well, health and wealth. And so those are some of the things, but we do want to keep monitoring our loved ones and ourselves to make sure that we can stay around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that couldn't be more timely. And what you said about both compliance with how, meaning by what means or method to eat to live, not live to eat.
Mm.
And, you know, as we noted about a month or so ago, it was actually announced on the national news outlets that the number one killer in America is food. It is the number one killer, because it you know, finally, as always with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which are direct from Allah himself, after a certain period of time, if we live long enough, we will witness the confirmation of the truth of what he says. As we know, the deportation of Moon, when he first stood up in the 1930s, he was mocked and vilified. It took white people 70 years to come to the comprehension of the truth that the moon was once part of the earth. And so now, without giving credit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you see this so-called awakening that there needs to be more time between meals.
Right.
And they're using phrases like intermittent fasting.
Right, right.
You know, let at least 12 hours go by before you eat the next meal. See, they're easing into one meal a day. They don't want to say it outright, because then it will click with the people. Oh, that's what that man said, the Honorable Elijah.
That's right.
Muhammad. So they use other phrases that amount to the same thing. I saw on one program, I don't think it was the Today Show, but you know how the news itself lasts about 3 minutes and they immediately start going into fun, pastime, social, all that type of nonsense. But there was a segment on health, and this Asian nutritionist was saying, you know, when you're an adult, you don't need to eat breakfast.
Right.
And I said, oh, look at this. You know, you don't need to get up in the morning. You know, breakfast is breaking the fast. And what did you do the last 8 or 9 hours? All you did was sleep. You don't need fuel, okay?
Right.
So when you wake up in the morning, it's sufficient for you to have some juice or coffee. Children can have something, but you don't need it as an adult. See, this is their way of bearing witness.
That's
so
right.
She didn't go so far as to say one meal a day, but she said you don't need 3 meals. You know,
right.
Your first meal should not be before noon, and then you should have something, a small amount of food. And then eat your dinner. And then, oh, the other thing they're saying now, don't eat past 7 o'clock. Well, he said the ideal time is between 4 and 6.
That's right.
So, so
I mean, that is the reality.
And, yeah, it is. It is. And so those among them that want life, and as we know in the last days, they would try to emulate what we're taught is the way to living. That's the type of things that are coming out. And between that and, as you said, the stress of being black in white America, I won't go into it now, but I saw the film Queen and Slim. And
I
hope
do a review next week. We're gonna let people get
up. I want to give people time to see it. And I know you may say, "Well, Sister Ava, you're always talking about movies." Well, let me just tell you, remind you that it was through Hollywood and through filmmaking that the stereotypical image of the black man as lazy, trifling, illiterate, sex crazed, and so forth, and the black woman as a prostitute, whore, sex crazed, etc., welfare queen, all of that is the product of films. All right. Because one film can do more to uplift or destroy your image than decades of actuality. All right. And so films are very important, just as Harriet Tubman film was critical. I think this film, Queen and Slim, it has messages in it from beginning all the way to the very end. And please don't make the mistake of getting up and leaving until it is absolutely over, because you will miss something. I was just thinking about that film when you said stress. Because, we absolutely live in an active war zone. Do not be lulled to sleep by whatever your daily routine is, because, as Brother Terrence just said about sex trafficking and being snatched anytime, any place, if you're not watchful, and that is for male, female, adult, and children alike. It's the same with just being black. We are
That's
in
right.
a danger zone, and we must never forget it. We must never forget it. But in the midst of all that, there is this unbreakable bond between the black man and the black woman that we must get back to. But it does still exist. Deep, deep down inside, we belong together. And we have to reconnect. We have to reconnect if we're going to get through this. But thank
and
you
I
for
think,
that beautiful opening, Brother Terrence. Yes, sir.
No problem. And I also think that one of the things when people say, you know, we're talking about movies all the time, I don't think people really understand that culture and arts comes in many, many forms and many different styles. I was at my aunt's house, and she was showing me some of the paintings on a wall, and she had one painting, and I said, "This is like a Zulu shield or African shield. I've seen this picture before." She said, "No, it's mine. It just came out of my head." And I said, that's very deep. You know, I was telling her, because she's not, quote-unquote, in this consciousness or whatever, but she drew something, and I said, this is actually like an African shield. Like, I've seen this before. But that was just coming out of her mind, and this is the way she expressed it, because last year around this time, her husband, my uncle, was alive, and he's not alive. She said, "This is the way I keep, you know, myself, you know, less stress and just, you know, relax." And she paints. And the visual, visual arts that I saw, although she had all through the house, were just amazing. I literally was like, "I'm going to take pictures of this and sell it on social media," because she has such skill and such creativity. But the point I wanted to really bring up is that I was having a conversation with someone else. Well, I actually did a radio show the other day. A brother had invited me on his radio show, and I was talking about the arts and music, and music is utilized to express stuff and different things. And when the Minister of the Nation and 5% of the Nation was in New York and heavily concentrating the knowledge and the wisdom, it started to leak into where we learned to be hip-hop. And that culture and that information through Bit Daddy Kane, Rakim, Allah, brand new Poor Righteous Teachers, KRS-One started to be permeated and put out there. But this was culture. This was due to music. And then, as we know, A Different World, Bill Cosby, we saw images on TV that shaked our mind. Black colleges, and the enrollment went up. So when we see a film, it actually shapes a narrative. And then it also causes a discussion that may not have ever taken place unless you had gone see the film. What did the film raise?
Yeah.
When we saw Black Panther, everybody was putting their arms across their chest, Wakanda forever. And that brought in a sense of black pride, like black groups were taking black children to see this film. We was wearing dashikis, we was wearing African garbs to the movies, but you can't go tell people I start wearing it, they ain't going to move. But the movie, the pictorial, the visual, because we are visual people, when we saw it, it told a story that stuck to us. Now, not all stories that we see visually are accurate, as we always had that conversation, but what does the thing that you see visually spark in you? You know, what conversations do you have from it? What things are spawned from what we see of this depiction, these stories that help us to navigate or have a greater and a deeper conversation?
Yeah,
because some movies end up being panel discussions in communities or on college campuses to really talk about the nuances and the depths. And, you know, if you go back and we remember Coogler, as he talked about Black Panther, and there was a scene in Black Panther where there's so many jewels in it where our brother, the king, you know, he had on black, and one sister had on green, another one had on red. It was red, black, and green. And it's like, wow, the cinematography and the science that he was putting in all the movies. So just like you said, you got to see it from the beginning to the end because there's so many parallels and so many pieces, which makes me also say this, Dr. Ava, when you just said that, those that started in the nation in the beginning prior to 75 and after 75, we haven't finished the movie, y'all. We are playing all on a script, but the movie has not finished.
Mm-hmm.
So you may think you have gotten to the end of the movie, but no, there's more to it. So don't drop out.
That's
don't
right.
leave the movie yet. Because once you get to the end
exactly.
of the movie, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. I would have never could have imagined that was going to happen. I can see how it happened, but I would have never thought that. But, wow, that's what we're going to say when those that don't stay all the way through and know that Allah is the producer, the executive producer of this movie that we plan out called Life.
That's right. And remember this statement from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad: as the doors to paradise open, many will leave Islam.
Mm.
And Islam, as we all know, it's not a religion, it is a way of life.
Right.
He states in the Holy Quran, I gave this to you as a religion.
Right.
In other words, the means through which he presented it through the revelation to Prophet Muhammad in this 6,000-year cycle is as a religion. But Islam is actually his nature.
That's
and
right.
the nature in which he created us as well, which is to live together in peace. And more of these films that are coming out, including these last two, I'm not going to talk about the film at all, but I'm going to say something about what's contained in it. And that is the essential quality of the nature of the black man and woman. No matter what we're doing in life, no matter what activity we're engaged in, all of us are about seeking peace.
Right.
When we are ourselves, that's all we want. We just want a peaceful, happy existence. That's all we want. We'll never have it as long as we continue to live with the enemy of God. And we can take it and let it alone.
And, you know, and one thing that you said, Dr. Ava, that I can say about the movie, because it was in the trailer, you know, Queen was like,
yes, sir.
You want to risk getting caught to go dancing?
Mm.
It's like, yeah. Mm. I would risk
right.
it all just to have some peace. I can't just
exactly.
keep running and hiding and living like this. I just
right.
want to dance. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
I
want to
be with this
black
woman.
That's
mm-hmm.
it. I don't want to be in these shadows running and fearing for my life. That's all I want, peace and happiness. And I want paradise.
Right.
And we know I want heaven, because the only heaven for the black man is the black woman. So as you said,
that's
Dr.
Right.
Ava, it's so much in it.
It's so
and it's so
much.
Deep. And it's even to the point that, like, just from the trailer, you know, people saw them and they got inspiration from them. So it's
that's
almost
right.
like when we see Mother Khadijah and Minister Farrakhan, it gives us inspiration
right.
about what
that's
marriage
right.
and a couple look. So the more you give examples and images, it inspires. So going back to film, Black Panther inspired. Yes, we
that's
know
right.
who owned it and who made money from it, but what did it do?
That's right. Thank you. I'm so glad. I'm glad you gave the piece that you just gave. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. What did it do at the end of the day? Well, all right. Okay, we got some callers that want to weigh in whatever direction they want to go in. And, of course, we got to get serious with refraining from giving our money to this devil except for our basic needs and
sure.
go out of our way to support our own. But anyway, we're gonna go to the phones now. And first up to bat, our beloved brother Daryl.
I'm like to say, but I'm not gonna stay long. Yes, can you hear me? Yes, I'm here in Philadelphia with my family. And I'm gonna save my comments to next week because I'm here in Philly with my family. I love you. May Allah continue to bless you. I had to stay on the show anyway. I don't care how much noise it is, but I love you. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. Assalamualaikum.
Thank you, beloved. And give your family love and greetings from Sister Ava and the team at Elevated Places. All right, brothers, family jamming in Philadelphia. All right. Okay, we have joining us on the line, Brother Ivan. We haven't heard from Brother Ivan in a while. Assalamualaikum, Brother Ivan.
I just want to, y'all talked about that movie. I went and saw it this morning, Queen and Slim. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Since you didn't really give a lot of it, but I'm going to say this. One of the things that I remember from the movie was when you seen them, both of them end up wanting something out of a relationship similar.
No spoiler alert.
I'll do it like this then. It reminded me of me and Sister Mary as far as I remember when I was seeking out a wife, right? And the only thing that I asked Allah for was because I was so flawed, I knew I didn't really have a right to ask for a whole lot in a mate. But I asked Allah to bless me with somebody with a heart like mine. Because I knew out of all of that, I could love him the way I desired to be loved. And that movie with that relationship reminded me of that and me and Sister Mary. And you know, it was just, it's so much to it. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yes,
but that's what I asked Allah for, with somebody with a heart like mine. Because, you know, and I met my match with Sister Mary. And it's different when you got somebody. That's when I tell believers. You know, I've been telling believers, just ask Allah for what you wanted. I mean, I didn't ask him to make her real beautiful, which she was. I didn't ask for no money, which she was very well. She was an entrepreneur. But because I had a good heart, and I know I got a good heart, I got it blessed with exactly what I needed in a man. But But that movie reminded me of that. That's what I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Well, what we're going to do, we want, since it only came out yesterday, we want to give everybody the opportunity to see it. We're giving all y'all a week now. That's it. It's 2019. You can't take a year to do nothing anymore. Okay, it's not 1986.
Because it's going to be talked about on social media anyway.
Black love is awesome. I mean, like I can say, black love is the best thing ever, man. It just is.
It really is.
You know, my queen is gone. I think a lot every. You know, I'm thinking about being thankful. And all I do, I wake up every morning.
Yes.
And I just think a lot every day for her life and what I have with her. You know, and I'm slowly but surely moving forward. But I'm just grateful to have been able to be loved and to love somebody like that.
All praise is due to Allah. That's beautiful testimony, Brother Ivan. Beautiful. That's what we should be grateful for. Thank you, beloved. So call back in next week. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Walaikum salam. That's awesome. Okay. And we've got Sister Pamela, our attorney. Our resident legal analyst, at least I did have her. Oh, here she is.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, I am fine. Praise be to Allah. How about yourself, Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence?
Great, we're doing well, beloved. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. It was actually a really wonderful day to spend time with the family. So I was really happy about that.
Yes,
and, you know, then I had to tune in and catch up with the show. So once again, I'm so thankful to be on the line with you all tonight. You know, I wanted to I was looking at Brother Sean Puffy Combs' article in The Final Call, and he made some really great statements in that article regarding the relationship between his Revolt TV network. And, you know, I thought one thing he did say, here it is. He said that our relationship with Comcast, he said, is the illusion of economic inclusion. And so I really was proud to see that he wanted to make that shout out that although he has some relationship with Revolt and Comcast, he wanted to say that he thought Comcast was standing on the wrong side of history and that even what they were doing for his company was not nearly, you know, sufficient. It's just a window dressing a scenario that, you know, and he's still with his people. So that whole thing about window dressing and it being an illusion, I think that's what's so important as to why, you know, we do have to separate and do this economic boycott and support our own. So I just wanted to make that point. And then two quick legal issues, Sister Ava, I wanted to bring to our attention tonight was there was recently in the Supreme Court, I believe it was yesterday, they refused to hear the case of Dorian Johnson. And Dorian Johnson was the young man that accompanied Michael Brown, who was murdered in St. Louis, of course, you know, back in Ferguson. The young man that accompanied Michael Brown when he was stopped and murdered, you know, subsequently by the police officer. You know who I'm talking about? Dorian
yes,
Johnson.
Ma'am.
And so when Darren Wilson killed Michael Brown, Dorian Johnson was also there, and he filed a lawsuit claiming that his rights had been violated because he was illegally seized. You know, he was really, I feel so bad for that young man because his life was forever changed to see his friend shot down in cold blood like that.
Exactly.
But anyway, the Supreme Court of the United States just refused to hear the case because the lower courts They dismissed the case saying that his rights had not been violated. There was no constitutional violation of his right to search and seizure because they questioned whether or not he was even detained, Sister Ava. They're talking about even though the car was blocked by Darren Wilson, even though his friend was shot in cold blood, they even go to, as far as to say that once his friend was shot, he could have left. And, you know, even though they say, you know, Darren Wilson yelled, you know, stop the police, you know, they're saying that there was never a seizure. He was never detained. None of his rights were violated. And I think today or yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States did refuse to hear it. And finally, I just wanted to raise a really big issue, I think, that relates to some of this child sex trafficking that we're seeing, or, you know, and it's this issue about Children Protective Services removing our children from the homes. And here recently, there was a NBC expose of some of the legislative action in the Capitol here in Texas, because what they're uncovering is that doctors in hospitals are making false reports of child abuse, and that these reports are resulting in children being removed from their parents only to find out later that the reports may be false or they're real flaky. And these doctors are being funded by the state. And they're, you know, subsequently they're being called child abuse pediatricians. And so, you know, it's their job to make these allegations. And we're seeing a lot of that, Sister Dr. Ava. You know, children coming in for some things that, you know, are not child abuse. But it takes them months and years to make it through these court processes to prove that, for example, there was a child once I knew this, and they accused the parents of shaken baby syndrome or some type of maybe throwing the child up against the wall. It was some very, very severe allegation, but in reality, the child had suffered some potential issues or injuries in childbirth, you know, and these parents had gone on for months and never had any kind of indication that the child, you know, was harmed because those little babies with those little bones. So, and you know, and that's one of the better cases. Some of the stuff we're hearing is just really outlandish. So again, I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's just my hypothesis, that somewhere we're seeing a connection of the removing of our poor children, especially from some of the lower income neighborhoods and our people whose rights, you know, aren't being protected, and that, you know, possibly that this is connected to some of that, these high numbers of children that are going missing. So that's what I wanted to share, and you all have a wonderful evening. Thanks for giving me some time on your show.
No, thank you. I'm laughing because you make it sound like it's thank you all. Thank you. You know you're one of our regulars.
All praises due to Allah, Brother Terrence. But, you know, today, since, you know, today is a special day for us, and I'm just trying to make sure that I can contribute something. Because I know that it's so important to have these independent airways where we can talk to our people. So I do appreciate, you know, you all's time and giving me time.
No, you know, and the reason why I said it, no, I thank you, because what you just kind of laid out is something that has to always be recognized, is that a lot of the times we concentrate on one thing but don't connect it to other things. So when we say this is happening, then what is contributing to this, and this could be contributing to that, and that could be contributing to this. And looking at all of the nuances that play into how things ill affect our communities. So I'm glad you brought that out, because you know, when we talked about the school to prison pipeline, and if we're not in the educational field understanding the zero tolerance policy that ill affects black males particularly, and school systems where white males may go get counseling, but black children with zero tolerance get kicked out, and then you don't have a conversation about helping to fight the minimum wage and raise the minimum wage. So now you're living in a sense of poverty when you don't have an education and you're in poverty and you can't really get a job to really have a living wage. Then you are now in a system where stuff is funneled into your community, and then you have a record industry that only plays certain things on its radio, because it controls the radio station, controls the record labels. So now it's feeding your mindset, and then you're living in a food desert, so your mind is not right because you're not eating right because there's no, you know, food there. And next thing you know, you're into this system. And I'm saying it like that to say that we have to look at all of those dynamics that play into shaping these realities of our young people. Just as I was in a room with some family members, and this brother, he recognized me. I said, "Oh, that's my man right there." He said, I'm a Moore. You know, I'm the Moore from the Moore Science." I said, "Okay, I remember you." And, you know, he was wanting me to help him talk to his son about some stuff. And I was like, well, the first thing, you got to talk into the language that he understands. You know, because he was trying to drop some high-level signs, so I was like, talk to the young man so he can understand it. So sometimes we want to educate our young people about what's going on around them, but we're talking to them as though we on some high-plane level, but just give them some basic information to how to maneuver through all these things, even with our young girls, and helping them understand life. And I think sometimes we see it clearly, but not understand that they don't see from our eyes and don't see from our experiences and don't see from our environment what's out there. But we have to help give them all the information to help maneuver through all these things that are going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's beautiful the way you put that, Brother Terrence, because really what kind of pricked my mind on that topic originally was when Sister Ava, when she opened up the show, she made some comments about the north side of Chicago and the south side of Chicago and how one area had grown, you know, exponentially wealthy and how the other, you know, we're still so impoverished. And when I first started to become enlightened, I, you know, even before I joined the nation, because that was just the answer. But, you know, I think a lot of times our people think that this happens haphazardly. You know, we don't, like somebody explained to me, it's like playing football. You know, we don't really understand the offensive. We don't really see that, like you say, all of that's connected and that these forces do operate. These monopolies, you know, they kind of operate together to keep us in these conditions. And so that was, you know, what stood out to me about the doctors. And how these poor mothers bringing their children, sometimes they have to for health reasons, but then, you know, there's a web there. And some of the most, what do they call them when they, you know, some of the most referrals are made straight out of these hospitals. And sometimes they're just not warranted. Many times they're not. So, yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yep, we got ways to go. We got lots to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's why making our own communities decent and safe places to live is the key. Because we're going, you know. Yes, ma'am. We do. We have to educate our people, of course, on, like you say, the better foods and how to take care of their children properly. Because oftentimes the connection between a mother who needs to lose total custody of her child and someone who just needs to be taught how to be a better mother and make a living and connect with the father and, you know, just do all that, build a family, what the system will do is just snatch the child and put them in a worse situation as opposed to connecting them to better resources. So, you know, that's why, Sister Ava, I just wanted to put
yes,
that
ma'am.
Out there from a legal.
No,
yes,
yeah, at the root of it, is we've reached that ceiling in our efforts to try to function in the white man's paradigm. I mean, that's the problem. It's the spider and the fly syndrome. You know, the fly is landing on the web for one reason, but the web exists for another reason. You know, and that's us. And going, reading through these books, Invincible Truth, that Brother Dimitri Muhammad compiled, these articles that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote or had published, the national secretary at the time, John Ali, and his staff were compiling lectures and making them into columns, and those articles in turn became the bulk of the books, Message to the Black Man, Fall of America, Our Savior Has Arrived. But in the plainest language, he just exhorts us over and over again to the reality that we're grinding metal, trying to flourish in the white man's reality. He explains his nature. He explains his method of operation. And so, for example, you know, like you just said, Sister Pamela, there are times when you have to seek help. You have to seek medical help or financial help. And the enemy controls all those systems, you know. And so because of their inherent view of us as inferior and as violent, abusive, illiterate, uneducated, etc., with their limited brain, the majority of white people, they're also taught and trained by their own system and their own leadership. You know, Donald Trump's base is an example of that. He can just say anything to them. Their nature is to fear, distrust, and seek to kill black people. And so we can teach our women and girls certain things, but until there is a real change in the environment that they're living in, it's very limited what they can do. You know, in order for a mother to be really a good mother, she would have to be free to be in her role of a mother, which presumes that a father is present. The moment you remove one of the two parties from the environment, it was Allah's intention for a child to have a father and a mother. So when one of those is missing, you have an automatic disadvantage. The balance is gone. And something has to compensate for that balance. You know, as he teaches in the study guides, the mountains are in the earth to compensate for the earth's wobble. And so what is the compensation? It is a safe and decent community to live in. So that if I'm a young mother by myself rearing children, I have people around me in the community that will help me. But they have to be people of my own kind. But if I got to take this child to a hospital where young white interns, residents are just training there and using black bodies to train, and social workers who are trained to view us a certain way, and the ultimate objective is to sustain the institution of slavery, but in a modern way. And in one of these articles, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote, all they did was switch from involuntary servitude, so now we're in a system of voluntary servitude. We're free. He called us free slaves. Free slaves. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. It describes exactly what we are. We're free in the sense we're running around here loose. We're not on plantations. But we're just as much slaves as we were in 1555.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because our movements are contained and controlled by the descendants of those people. And you know, someone is working on a article now for the final call. There have been a few, but another one's coming out. Because this problem is, I'm so glad you brought it up. I think a lot that you called in, this whole issue of sex trafficking and that Brother Terrence brought it up. And the messenger also wrote in his book, stop taking lightly how we're being treated in this country.
That's right.
You know, any other people would go into crisis mode if the stuff that's happening to us was happening to them. That's why other nations are at war with America when she's in their countries.
That's
but
right.
When she comes in the colony in the so-called hood, we don't go to war. But she's attacking us just like she is in any other country around the world.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, they just closed down the last public school, high school in the Englewood area of Chicago. Englewood is the notorious community where you hear about, nine times out of ten, when you hear about the shootings and six people were shot and all, that's Englewood, which is adjacent to Auburn Gresham, which is where the Final Call newspaper building is. That's where the highest rate of violence is in the city. So what happens is the city council, with the aid of House Negroes, votes for things that result in neglect and deprivation of these areas. Then the mayor turns around and says, well, this school is so raggedy and atrocious, and by the way, the student attendance is down, their enrollment is down, so we're going to close it. But they create it, as you were saying earlier, with the way they take children away, you know, they create conditions and then produce a certain type of person or situation and then use the situation to justify what they are, which is they are kidnappers, rapists, sex predators, and murderers. You know, that's who and what they are. You know, but we had, we had planned, I was talking with the team a little earlier, and we know that, you know, many of the people are with their families this evening. That's why brother Daryl had the jam going in the background.
Right. Club fam.
Yeah, and in Philadelphia. So we appreciate that, but we're going to probably bring the program to a close at around 8:30. But I think with you all, we definitely need to, you know, finish this point before we go. But go ahead, Sister Pamela.
Well, Sister Ava, I just wanted to add, so I did make some eggplant dressing today. I want y'all to know there's a whole nother side of me.
Okay.
And my daughter made, my 14-year-old made some, what is it called, squash pie. It was just fabulous. So I just wanted to let you know. She,
I know it was.
We did have
a different
day today, too. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, the minister told our people with these, as Brother Terrence calls them, hella days, he said, don't go out and spend your money with white people, and don't engage in the behavior. But he said we should be together with our families.
That's right.
And he said eat healthy food. He said we should prepare and sit down and eat dinner. Why shouldn't we?
Yes, ma'am.
And I think
it's
good, and it creates a bond. Particularly, most of us are the only Muslim in the family, the only branch in the family that's Muslim. Everybody's not born in the nation, or have their whole family
right.
in the nation.
Right.
And so,
yes, ma'am.
It helps. There's no better way to propagate Islam than to be a peaceful, joyful, health-oriented, but understanding type of individual, where your family doesn't feel like you're being judgmental. And
yes,
I felt so bad because I was going to go to Ohio. I was actually going to go Tuesday and come back today, and then things came in a way that it was impossible. And my sisters and their husbands and children and grandchildren, everybody's there at my youngest sister's home. And when we all got on the phone, and they said, Ava, we made a pork-free environment. And it just melted my heart. It made me feel so grateful. And I said, but I still want you to maintain that environment. Okay? Because
yes,
I'm with
ma'am.
You in spirit. But you keep it like that. And it was beautiful. And I come from a very close-knit family. So, no, I was glad that Brother Daryl's family was in the background in Philly. And I think that's where we should be, is with our families.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to thank you for sacrificing, Sister Ava. I want to thank you for coming on this evening and feeding us, because it's just always so, it just lifts our spirits for sure.
Thank you, ma'am. And Brother Terrence also.
Brother Terrence also.
Yeah, I left my third house. I left my third house early to run over to the States.
Yes, sir. I never want you to think I'm leaving you out, Brother Terrence.
No, we never do. No, we never do. But I do want to echo what Dr. Ava said, what the minister said. We should spend time with our family. I definitely have put up on social media about the natives and not celebrating Thanks and killing of indigenous people, and I make sure people remember that. At the same time,
I know
my cousin came in from Philly, my other cousin came in from Tampa, and I could be so woke. It's like, the hell with that. I'm not celebrating. Negro, go see your family. And when you go see your family, especially the last stop I made, there was a whole conversation about everything, and they wanted my input on this and that and that. Then went to another house, my input on this and this and that. And you don't know the impact that you have, and everybody knows, oh, you can eat this, you can eat this. One of my cousins said, I'm going in January, I'm doing a whole cutting off this and cutting off this fast. And just the conversation that happens because of your presence. And beyond that, it's almost like the church folks, they in the church, so we Christians, so we cut away from the sinners. If we have that which is salvation for our people, then we need to go amongst our people and give it to them. And, of course, that starts with our family. So, yeah, we may not celebrate it in the manner in which our family does, but family is the foundation of nation.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
No, that's exactly right. And you can always, which I've always done with my family, and, of course, I come from a family of educators. My dad was... he explained everything we were doing all the time. You know, whatever activity we were doing, he'd give you the whole history of that activity, you know, and give you the real deal on how it came about. But, you know, you can you also do that in, you know, of course. And black people are so much more aware now. We're so conscious. And going back to films and this last wave in the 2000s of films that have exposed the history of America on a much more in-depth level and exposed the racism on a much more in-depth level. Black people are they know that the Thanksgiving that was in the textbooks when I was in elementary school is completely fake and fictitious.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
You know, they know that.
Yes.
You know, and so we say that and say we're not signing on to the white man's perception of this, but since it is a day when everybody's available, okay?
Right.
To come
That's
together.
Right.
Why? I mean, we're not spooky. You know, why shouldn't we cook what we eat and eat together?
Yes, ma'am.
And enjoy
yes, ma'am.
Our time, you know, together. And that's why I love the minister, because he's so real. He's so practical. You know, God is a man. God is a human being. And even though we say that, we repeat that having heard it, do we really comprehend that? God came among us. Master Father Muhammad sat down with our people and ate dinner. And a lot of times it wasn't even edible. And he would say, well, you know, in the original land where you're from, we didn't eat these things. He would teach them. But he would not offend and hurt them.
That's right.
And that's the key. I think that's the key thing
right.
for us to learn is how to a true Muslim, you know, helps without hurting. You know, the Muslim knows what to say, when to say it, how to say it, where to say it, and who to say it to. So, yes,
wow.
we do speak the truth. At all times, regardless of the circumstances. But the question is, are we speaking? Sometimes it's better to be quiet.
That's right.
Mm.
And then at the proper time, take somebody on the side.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
That's beautiful.
But anyway,
yes,
anyway,
ma'am.
Praises
and so
Allah.
Much
we thank
bonding.
Allah.
Yes, ma'am. I was going to say, so much bonding goes on at this time. Like you say, it gives
That's
us
right.
some opportunity to connect. Because, I mean, I came home from work yesterday. I was just absolutely exhausted. It was just like, you know, it's so much activity. So the day that they closed down, how could we not utilize that opportunity to to make these bonds with our people?
Make some inroads in our family bonds.
Yes,
that's right. We have to be smart, and like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a highly skilled teacher. He's skillful in his teaching. So we have to be quick thinking, fast moving, right down to modern times. And that's what the devil does. That's how he got our people in the first place. We got to get them back.
Yes, ma'am.
And we got the heavier brain, so let's act like it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, thank
ma'am.
You,
that's beautiful.
Sister Pamela.
Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. All right, beloved. All right, well, I think we're going to prepare to close out. We are a little past our closeout time, but we got one more caller, Brother Terrence.
All right.
And let's get her mic open. Pardon me. Sister Darcel has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Darcel.
Alaikum salam, and I wish everyone in this indigenous today, as Brother Terrence mentioned, I'm glad families are getting together. I called earlier, and it said that you weren't going to be open today. And so I said, let me try again. It's at a late hour, and I just want to just share my love for listening to everyone and their feedback, because they make me a more whole person and just make me more learned and hashtag woke. So that's all I wanted to share, and I wish everyone safety in their travels with this weather. All over the planet was this, you know, eye opening, and I wish the best for all of us. Peace be unto you.
Oh, bless your heart, and we certainly pray for the best for you and your family as well. So make sure you go see Queen and Slim.
Okay, consider it done.
All right, and we'll talk about it next week. Thank you, beloved.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, Brother Terrence,
all right.
I think.
There we go.
And also another person who sacrifices as well, and that's Sister Rona Muhammad.
That's right.
Yeah, keeps this thing
that's
smooth
right.
and operating. All praise is due to Allah.
Can't forget her.
Can't forget her.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, all right, those of you who are on the line with us or logged in via blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, please enjoy the rest of your evening. Have a blessed evening. Thank you, Sister Rona, Brother Ruben, Sister Pamela, and, of course, my inimitable co-host, the one and only Brother Terrence Muhammad. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.